జయం శుభాల పరమహంస పరిప్రాజాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయ చరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం నిత్రీలా ప్రవిష్ట విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిప్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సభో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌరవభక్త వృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధా కృష్ణ గోప గోపినాథ శ్యామగుండ రాధా గుండగిరి గోవర్ధనకి వృందావన్ ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసీదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమనండి. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ బాడీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ బాడీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ బాడీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరంగ, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ ప్రభుపాద్. నమాముష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూదలి శ్రీమదే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినిధి నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతీదేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి. ఓం నమో భగవదే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవదే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవదే వాసుదేవాయ. సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధి కర్మగ్రాహగృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధరవార్ణవా శ్రీమల్ భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి శ్రీహృదోసిమయానాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫల సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం నవ కేశవ భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోర్థవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాదస్తున్నో యద ప్రభో నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వపాప ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖశమన తం నమామి హరిం పరం. జన్మాద్యస్య యదోన్వయాదిదరదశ్చాతేష్వపిజ్ఞస్వరా తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదాయ ఆదిగవయే ముహ్యంతి యల్ సూరయ తేజో వారిమృదం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృష ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తగుహకం సత్యం వరం ధీమహి ధర్మం ప్రోజ్వలకైలవోత్ర వరమో నిర్మల్సరాణం సదా వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తాపత్రయోన్మూలనం శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కిం వా వరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుద్యదేత్ర కృతిభిః శుశ్రూషుభిః తల్క్షణా నిగమకల్పదరోర్గలితం ఫలం శుభముఖామృతద్రవ సంయుధం పిబద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహోరసిగా భువి భావుగాః సచిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోత్పత్త్యాదిహేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నమః. యం ప్రవ్రజంతమనుభేదమభేదకృత్యం ద్వైవాయనో విరహకాదరమాజ్జుహావ పుత్రేది తన్మయత్తరవోభినీదూతం సర్వభూతహృదయం మహిమానదోస్మి. యస్వానుభావమఖిలశ్రుతిసారమేకం అద్యాల్పదీపమతిదిదీర్షదాంతమౌంధం సంసారీణాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుపయామి గురుం మునీనాం నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తదో జయముదీరయే కమనీయ కిశోరముగ్ధమూర్తే కళవేణుకుణిదాదృదానందోః మమ వాచి విజృంభతాం మురారే మధురీం నః కణికావి కావిగావి. నమః ఓం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూదలే శ్రీమదే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినిధి నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతీదేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమ. వందే నందప్రజశ్రీణాం పాదరేణమభీష్ట యాసాం హరిగదోద్గీతం పునాదిభువనత్రయం గోవీచరణారవింద పరమానవే నమ. పీతాంబరం గర్భరాజిత శంఖచక్రం కౌమోదకీ సరసిజం కరుణాసముద్రం రాధా సహాయమతి సుందరమందహాసం వాదాలేశమనిశం హృది భావయామి. కోమళం కూజయన్ వేణం శ్యామలోయం కుమారగ వేదవేది పరం బ్రహ్మ వాసదాం పురదో మమ. మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘైరేగిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః. శ్రీమతి రాధికాయే నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. after Kavi, Hari, Andariksha, Prabuddha, four Navayogis, then Pipalayana spoke. Right? That's what we were talking yesterday. Pipalayana Maharshi's verses. Yeah? They are important because they are difficult verses, actually. These Pipalayana Maharshi's verses. Yeah? We saw yesterday that how when the king asked this question, Nimi asked this question, Narayana Abhidhanasya Brahmana Paramatmana Tishtha Maha Ahadam No Vaktum You am He Brahma Vittama. That one Paramatma Swarupa Brahmam. How do you address Him as Narayana, Paramatma and Brahmam? Brahmedi Paramatmedi Bhagavanedi Shabdyade. By saying that, is everything representing the same Nirvishesha Brahma? Or is there any speciality with any of that? So, that's when Pipalayana Maharshi spoke that famous verse. Sthiti Ulbhava Pralaya Hedura Hedurasya Yat Sotna Jagara Sushuptishu Sad Bahishya Dehendriyasu Hridayani Charandi Yena Sanjeevidani Tadavehi Param Narendra. That's what we were talking about yesterday. That by creation, maintenance and dissolution, he addresses Narayana. Jagrat Supnam Sushupti, he is addressed as Brahmam. And one who operates the whole system, body, from inside, as Andaryami, is Paramatma. That's simple terms, right? It is a lot more complicated than that in the next few verses. Yeah, let's look at that. So, what Pipalayana Maharshi is saying there is that the actual identity of Brahman is that avasthatrayam in the three states, Jagrat, Supnam, Sushupti, right? And after the Jagrat, Supnam, Sushupti, Samadhi state, the fourth state, in all these four states, one who remains as a witness, Avastatraya Sakshi, it's called, one who remains as a witness, and he's a witness in these three states, but when he moves into the fourth one, in Samadhi, he is that Sattattvam itself. Kevala Tattvam himself. He is not a Sakshi anymore. He is that. So in the three states, Jagrat Sapnam Sushupti, he is a Sakshi. This is requires some thinking involved in this. A lot of thinking is involved to get it right inside here. So what he is saying is that in Avastatrayam he is a Sakshi. But when he transcends Avastatrayam, when he moves further from Avastatrayam to Samadhi, he remains as the Tattvam, that Chaitanyam, is Brahmam, he said. So, when I was awake in the Jagrat, I entered into sleep and then I started seeing the dreams, right? And that me has gone into deep sleep state in Sushupti and dissolved myself. That's what happens normally with all of us, right? And then I woke up from that Sushupti and came back to Jagrat again, right? This experience we all have on an everyday basis. Waken state, then I go into sleep, then I start dreaming, and then I go into deep sleep, then I go somewhere, I don't know where I've gone. And then I come back again in the morning when you wake up, right? So, but when you go through these three states, these three states are experienced by whom? As a witness to all that. Jagrat, Supnam, Sushupti, all the three states. You see, we go through the states. Is it not? I was in the wakened state, then I fell asleep, then I started dreaming. And then I went to deep sleep. And then I went to, I lost, gone, and then I woke up again and came back in the morning to awakened state. This is our cycle. But these three states have been happening, and it is all witnessed by one Chaitanyam, who is a witness to all that. And it is that Chaitanyam which was the foundation. And due to that only, this me, the bhavam, which I am, that which I am going through these three phases, right? And that Chaitanyam is the witness for avastatrayam. See, I am passing through these three states, and that Chaitanyam is the foundation of that, who is called the Sakshi Chaitanyam. So that Sakshi Chaitanyam, who is a witness to that, is called Avastatraya Sakshi. So that Avastatraya Sakshi is the one which is witnessing me going through these three states. He is called Sakshi. Avastatraya Sakshi he is. Right? Otherwise, this experience cannot happen. Suppose if I think I am identifying with the body, I am this body, right? I cannot be the same person in the Swapnam as well. Let's understand that, because the me in Jagrat, right, cannot, suppose I am the body, suppose I am identifying with this body, then I cannot be the same person in the dream state, identifying with the dream body. So that this, how do you understand that? Because the me in Jagrat does not appear in the dream state in the same way. It appears in a different way. That means in vacant state I had an identification. Suppose I am thinking that I am this body. Suppose I am thinking like that. I am this body. But when I go into dream state, I am able to identify with some other body in the dream state. So, for example, that's what that example, the Yoga Vasishtam example, right? In the Jagrat you are an emperor, and in the dream state you can be a beggar. So suppose you are identifying with the body, with this body was you, then you cannot be that, because in the dream state you have become a beggar. So that means that in the dream state he has lost everything, whole emperor's position gone, all the wealth gone, everything has gone, and he appears in the dream body, identifying with another body, dream body, and there he is a beggar rather than an emperor in the vacant state. Yeah. So, suppose I am this body and I firmly identify with this body, then in the Jagrat, when I am experiencing all the sense objects, I am identifying with them, right? And it's the same me who entered into dream state and saw the dream there at that time. Saw the dreams there, right? And it is the same me who went into deep sleep and got lost there, right? This bodham or this awareness, if you start thinking that you are this body, if you recognize it as your body, then this will not be right. This cannot be right. If you not got it, you just think about it, you will get it. You just give some time to sink in this concept, right? Why it cannot happen? Yeah. The me in Jagrat is not the same in me in dream. And in the as a king, I am identifying with the body as a person, right? And in the dream state, I am a beggar. Again, identifying with that body. And I appear as so in that dream state, in that dream body, as a beggar, I am wandering around. And I am witnessing that, me wandering around, right? So, the personality in the Jagrat, is that my real identity, or the personality in the as a beggar in the dream state is my identity? Question comes there, is it not? Which one is me then? Because you see, in the vacant state you are identifying with the body, and when you identify with the body you are an emperor. This is Yogavā system example. This is, you are an emperor in the vacant state. Then you went to dream state, and there you are a beggar. Suppose you had identified with the body as an emperor, with the body as an emperor. Then how did you become a beggar in the dream state? That question will come. So, which one is real now? That question is coming. Am I the beggar or am I the emperor? Yeah. So, that is where this thing, what he is talking about. Yet, sotna jagara sushuptishu sad behischa. That's how people animashi puts it. He's saying there, am I the person who in the vacant state witnessed all these things, as a witness to everything what has happened? Or in the dream state, again I am witnessing all what has happened. The witness, sakshi. Which one is me? So, sopnam, in dream, he is sopna sakshi. And in sopnam, what the benefit is, the person who is witnessing the sopnam and the person who is experiencing the sopnam, you can see them separately. Clearly, you can see them separately, right? In Jagrat, it is not possible. Jagrat, the problem with Jagrat is everything is mixed up. Because our mind is working, senses are working, intelligence is working, and gross body is working. Everything is working. So it is difficult to identify them and break them up as a witness as well as the abhimanam, the ahankaram, separately. Yeah. So this Sakshi Chaitanyam, which remains aloof from everything and remains as a witness, that cannot be identified in the vacant state. But in dream state it is possible. Because what happens? You have this experience that you are sleeping, right? In your dream. And you see yourself running, going for shopping. You are dreaming, yourself going for shopping. And you meet up with some of your friends in the shopping time or something you are witnessing separately. And you are seeing yourself doing that. You had that experience? We all have that, isn't it? We all have that. Because sometimes we ignore dream, that's the problem. We shouldn't ignore dream. Dream has to be studied properly. So, one experience that comes from the dream is this, that you can see yourself doing different things separately. So, in order that to happen, when that happens, you can see there that you who was witnessing everything else what you were doing, is the real you. That is the real you, right? So that separation happens in the dream state. We have spoken about this before many times, but we forget. We don't take that very seriously. That's the problem. So in Jagrat, one who is enjoying that Chaitanyam, which is personality, you can say, Vyaktitva Abhimanam, individuality, right, exists, which is busy with the world, and at the same time exists, that Jagrat state we got due to the presence of the other Chaitanyam, Paramatma Chaitanyam. He is the Sakshi for that. Paramatma Chaitanyam, in whose presence Jagrat happens. But Jagrat is experienced by the personality, Ahankaram, which is witnessed by the Paramatma Chaitanyam. And that separation between Jagrat cannot be noticed. It's not possible. Between Paramatma Chaitanyam and Ahankara Chaitanyam, the separation, it is not possible to notice it in the vacant state. In dream state, it is not like that, right? So, there what happens, the Ahankara Chaitanyam, which is called a Bhoktava, that's what the word for that, Bhoktava, one who enjoys everything. Yeah, Bhoktava, right? And who identifies with the Sukma Shariram, with the dream body, and as an individual, he lives in that stage. And Sopna Bhoktava, he is the one who is enjoying the Sopnam. And the other Chaitanyam, which is still a witness, not involved in the Sopnam, remains aloof from all that. In Sopnam, you see them separately. You see them separately, right? So in Sopnam, there is two me. Me in two different forms. In Jagrat, it is all mixed up. When it comes to Sopnam, you get a clear separation there. So one, the one who is allowing the dream to happen, which is the Sakshi, Sopna Sakshi, or one who creates this Sopnam in us, the one who creates this Sopnam in us, and another one, me, who is experiencing the Sopnam. So the two me comes in the dream state, right? And at that time, I'm seeing me running through the street, or walking through the street, right? And I can see myself in the dream. I can see myself doing things in the dream, right? And that's only possible in the dream state. In Jagrat, if I want to see me, I have to look into the mirror. Right? Whereas in the dream state, I am sleeping and I am seeing me running around. Right? That's what is called Sopna Bhoktava. Right? So, the one who is running and me who is seeing me running, that's also me. That me who is seeing me running, right, is possible only in the dream state. So, sopnam, it's called in Shastra, we call it as prakashanam. Prakashanam means that the sopnam state happens only because of this separation happens at that time. And this is exactly what Shukha Brahmashi told Parikshit in the 12th canto, if you look. He told him in the 4th verse, Sopne yatha shirachedam, 5th chapter, 12.5.4. Sopne yatha shirachedam, panjatva almana swayam, yasmat pashiri dehasya, tada alma tyajo amara. This verse is exactly the same thing what we spoke. Sopne yadha shirachedam, panjatvad almana swayam, యస్మాత్ పశ్యతి దేహస్య తద ఆత్మో అజో అమర. దట్ ఈస్ ది వర్డ్స్ హీ వాజ్ సేయింగ్ దిస్ పరీక్షిత్. అహం బ్రహ్మాస్మి అవేర్నెస్ కమ్స్ టు హిమ్ హూ పరీక్షిత్ అట్ దిస్ మోమెంట్ రైట్. హీ సేస్ ఇన్ స్వప్నం వాట్ హ్యాపెండ్ వాజ్ మై హెడ్ వాజ్ కట్ ఆఫ్. స్వప్నే యదా హిరచ్ఛేదం రైట్. అండ్ I am seeing me, my body is lying there, my head is separate from me, and I am seeing that. My own body, head and the body separated, it's lying there and I am looking at it. It's frightening, isn't it? And Shiva Brahma, she is saying this to Parikshit, right? I'm no more living, I'm dead. And my head and body are separated and it's lying there and I'm looking at it. Right? So, and the one who is looking at it now, that is real me. That's real me, right? And he has no birth or death. This is why you have to connect this with Bhagavad Gita now, second chapter. When Krishna started talking to Arjuna, right? So, because this dream state is the one which is helping us to get that understanding what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita. How to separate our real self from our false self. It is a false self that's doing everything, Ahankara. And it is a false self that has got, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. And I am the kartrutva, bhoktrutva, and similarly raga, dvesham, everything is for the false self. Real self doesn't have any of these things. So you can see when Krishna started talking Bhagavad Gita, he began with this self itself to understand, and two different levels he has spoken about it. Yeah. So, so Shuddha Chaitanyam, pure Chaitanyam, pure consciousness, is the one, me, who does not have this birth or death, right? And the head cut off, shirachedam, right? And lying there in that condition, separated, head and the body separated. And I'm able to see that. I can only see that if I have Chaitanyam, isn't it? So that Chaitanyam, which is witnessing that Chaitanyam, Pipalayana Maharshi is saying here, is Paramatma Chaitanyam or Atma. That is the actual Atma. The other one is Ahankaram, it is. This is Atma. And this Atma, never born, never die, remains forever. It doesn't have birth or death, right? So, say for example, in the dream state, somebody has attacked you and he cut your head off and you are experiencing all the suffering of that. You remember sometimes people cry in the dream, attacked by a lion or a tiger or a dacoit or whatever it is. You've been attacked and you suffer. And who is suffering that? Ahankaram. Ahankaram is suffering, right? And you can even witness that he is putting the knife on your throat and he is slitting your throat, right? And you are fighting hard because of the pain. And you can also witness sometimes the blood flowing, all these things. And gradually your head and the body is separated. And so that me who was identifying with that body, Swapna Deham, eventually die. And I see the death of my Ahankaram with my Paramatma Chaitanyam in the dream state. In the dream state. So in order to see that, you need Chaitanyam. Only in Chaitanyam's presence you can experience anything, right? Vipalayana Maharshi is saying that here. He said, with that Chaitanyam with which you are observing that, which does not have birth or death, that is Atma. That is the soul. That is the soul. And here what he is doing is, he is witnessing that Shiracharam, cutting the throat, as a witness, and only in his presence, Atma's presence, this Ahankaram, what is going through, can be experienced. Ahankaram can experience that, right? So, think over this when you get the time when you are not doing anything else. But most of the time we are doing something. That's the problem. This is something to be thought through. So in Swapnam, there are two me. One, the one who is experiencing the Swapnam, and the other one who is creating the Swapnam, or Prakashanam, one whose presence it can happen. So there is two me there, right? So the one who is experiencing the Swapnam is Jiva. And the one who is allowing this to happen is Paramatma or real Atma. Paramatma or real Atma. That much is to be understood. Swapnam, the one who is experiencing the Swapnam and who is crying, all that is Ahankaram, Jiva. The one in whose presence all this is happening, he is not doing anything, but in his presence only this will happen. And that one who is witnessing everything, he is Atma, real self, our real self, which is the same as Paramatma Chaitanya. Yeah. So, between these two, there is a big difference, right? Similarly, also there's another thing. That me, when I'm in that dream state, right? As a personality, Vyaktitva Abhimanam, Ahankaram, right? And I'm experiencing that dream. That me. And in the vacant state, when I'm experiencing all the sense objects in the world, right? And in who is experiencing the vacant state? These two are different. These two me, Ahankaram. Because this Ahankaram going through both. Ahankaram in the vacant state and Ahankaram in the dream state, they are two different ones. Why? Because you saw that in the vacant state he is an emperor. In the dream state he is a beggar. He is a beggar, right? But the one who has allowed this Ahankaram to experience these two things, in the vacant state, in the dream state, he is one. He is not two, he is one. And he is the one whom we, is the one who, that's why we call him as a witness. He is a witness to vacant state, witness to dream state, and the same way in the deep sleep. Sushupti also. So the Sakshi or witness is the same one, me, who is in the allowing us to experience the vacant state, allowing us to experience the dream state. That's one me, and that is a witness, right? So suppose I am this body, right? And in the vacant state I am experiencing the sense objects, right? But when I enter into dream state, I am experiencing the say, I am experiencing different things based on my vasanas in the dream state. Everything is vasanas that has come as dream. Whereas here, I was experiencing everything the sense objects, right? So, if both were one person, one me, on ahangaram, then this cannot happen. So that means ahangaram has changed, both states, right? But the one who allowed this to happen in the waking state and in the dream state, he hasn't changed. He remained the same. This is to make us understand how ahangaram is different from the Atma, or Jiva is different from Atma. Atma is eternal. Atma is never born. Atma never dies. But ahangaram is born, it dies. Therefore, Jiva Bhavam, Jiva state is not permanent. Right? So, real me, which is the Paramatma, Atma, which allowed these Jagrat states to come and remained as a witness, entered into Swapnam, dream state, and remained as a witness and allowed the Ahangaram to experience all the vasanas. Control is with Atma all the time. Jiva is only experiencing. That's the difference. Jiva has no control on anything. Jiva has to keep on accepting what's given to him in the vacant state and in the dream state and in the deep sleep. It's always like that. The Atma has not given any power to Jiva. Jiva just suffer, enjoy, and that's all it can do. It can't do anything else independently, right? So, so it is because this Sakshi, witness, is there. That is why we can say this, that on the basis of that, that it is the same Sakshi who is present in the vacant state as in the dream state, both in the vacant state as well as the dream state, right? And that same person, say when I went into Sushupti, this Ahangaram disappeared, is it not? Ahangaram disappears, goes and dissolves, right? So what happens at that time? My Paramatma Swarupam remains like that. Paramatma Swarupam, right? So in Sushupti also, he remains there and allows the Sushupti to happen. You see? So this Jagrat Sapnam Sushupti, three states are happening only because of the permission from Andaryami or Paramatma Chaitanyam, right? So in Sushupti, what happened now? That that Ahangaram, which was busy in vacant state and in the dream state, has disappeared in the deep sleep state, right? Why? Because that Ahangaram is a part of subtle body, Andhakaranam, subtle body. That subtle body went and dissolved in the Paramatma Chaitanyam. So at that time, Paramatma Chaitanyam, Andaryami, Atma is still there, and it is in his presence that. So what happened to at that moment? Our Ahangaram, Jiva Bhavam, has gone and dissolved in the Paramatma, Atma. Right? So when the subtle body dissolved in the Paramatma, our Ahangaram disappeared at that time. Our Ahangaram disappeared. In this way, temporarily, we got a release from bodily identity. This is what has happened in the Sushupti. Temporarily, we got a release from the bodily identity. Right? And we have gone into our pure identity, Paramatma Swarupam, and as a witness to Sushupti, we got established, right? So that Sushupti Sakshi state in Paramatma Swarupam who experienced that happiness, who reported that happiness of the Sushupti state, right? It is the same one who is in the Swapnam as a witness and also witness in the Jagrat state. So this is the message in that verse, yeah? So that's something very much requires some thoughts to be put through that, yeah? So that Sakshi Matra Chaitanyam, Sakshi Chaitanyam, right? He is the foundation. It is because of his that the jiva can do all these things. Enjoy the senses in the vacant state, sense objects. Go into the dream and go through the dream experiences. And he disappears in the deep sleep by going into Atma. Dissolves in the Atma. But Atma in all the three states remains as a witness only. Doesn't get involved in anything. His presence is sufficient, right? Is it not amusing that why Krishna created it like this? Krishna has given us a vacant state, and then a dream state, and then a deep sleep. The rishis are saying to us that when Krishna created us, he has also told us how it works. It's up to us to take advantage of that. And that's they, as I said yesterday, Vedantam does not, he says, you don't have to go outside looking for the truth. Truth is very much inside in everyone. If you do the research here inside, you will get to know the truth. You don't have to go into planet after planet after planet searching for the truth. Is there life in Mars? Is there life in Moon? Is there life here? This is not getting anywhere. You'll be searching for, they have been searching for the last 2000 years, I suppose, and they didn't get it yet. So it hasn't happened so far, and it's not going to happen, that's what they're saying. The rishis came to know this before, so their attention went from the world to inside. And it is there, all their research is. Jagrat Swapnam Sushupti. This is their field of research. And through that they have found out a lot of things. They found out creation, how this creation is still a mystery for the world, isn't it? For the scientist. Who created this? They keep on asking us, who created this? But if you go through this Vedantam process, you will realize that creation is not real. It is something, when you have senses, you feel its existence. That's all it is. There is no more reality to it than that. But scientists don't believe in that. They think that this is something very real. Who created this, they want to know. So Vedantam says you can keep on looking for it, you won't find the creator who created it. And you can argue and fight over that, who created this, right? Vedantam concept is that this Srishtisthiti Samharam is a continuous process going on. And it is an experience what you get in a state that when you have senses. That's all they say about it. There is no more reality to it than that. First thing, it is changing all the time. Another thing, it has been created, so that means it will be destroyed. Therefore, it is not the truth. So Vedantam comes from that point. Vedantam is saying it is not the truth. Creation is not the truth. Because it's been created, so therefore it cannot be the truth. And it keeps on changing, so it cannot be the truth. So you are, but when you are only looking at things through the senses, only through the senses, then it all looks very real, and you get trapped in that, and that's where science is stuck. Science is not able to come out of this. That they are finding it very difficult to believe that this is not real. And this is all Pipalaya Maharshi is talking about now to us, right? So when I went into a Sushupti state, right? In Sushupti also, that Sushupti experience was witnessed by Atma. Because Ahankara was gone. Ahankara was not witnessing the Sushupti. Atma was witnessing the Sushupti, right? And that Atma existed in the dream state as a witness, in the waking state also as a witness, right? So, that is the most important thing, right? And so this experience what we get, right, that vacant state, I experience the world, sense objects, right? And which was happening because of the presence of that Sakshi inside, Paramatma Chaitanyam, right? And then I gone into Sopnam. And I was witnessing, experiencing the Sopnam again because of the presence of that Antaryami Chaitanyam. And then I entered into Sushupti. And then I woke up from the Sushupti. And if I have to have this experience, it cannot happen based on me who is identifying with the body, jiva. Based on the jiva, this cannot be experienced, right? Because me, who is identifying with the body, is different in the vacant state and in the dream state. Because in the vacant state, how do I identify with the gross body, right? That means, with this gross body, I'm identifying, and with that, all the other things connected with this gross body, I'm identifying. So that is the me in the vacant state, the one who is identifying with this gross body and the rest of it. When I go into dream state, what happens? I leave this gross body. That me leaves the gross body and is identifying with some vasanas from the previous life and is identifying with that and doing different things at that time. So, so this difference is happening for the Ahankaram or the Jiva. It may not happen the same way all the time, but it is based on the Sushupti state only. Based on the Sushupti state only, you can say that it is actually happening because of the presence of this Atma, Paramatma Chaitanyam, that these three states are happening. This conclusion the rishis have come after studying Sushupti. So, that means our state in Sushupti, our situation in Sushupti, it is based on that they are able to say to us that all these three states are happening due to the presence of that one Atma, Chaitanya, Antaryami. That's there. They have studied it in deep depth, and there is so much written about it if you want to read it, right? So Sushupti Sakshi and our Swarupam is Paramatma, Sushupti Sakshi also. So, and that same Paramatma Chaitanyam is Sopna Sakshi and in the Jagrat Sakshi. So in this way, even though these three states are coming one after the other, all these three states are happening because of his presence. And then after all these three states are finished, and then you go into Samadhi state, right? And Samadhi is not Sakshi anymore. There he is in his pure form, Sachidananda Paramatma. Because Ahankara has gone. So what happened to us then? We got back our spiritual identity in Samadhi. In these three states, we had this duplicate playing around, Ahankara as Jiva. But once you cross the three states, you went into Sushupti, Samadhi state, that Jiva Bhavam, which was Ahankaram, which was playing these three roles, he has gone, and we got back from the Ahankaram Bhavam it has gone and came back to the Atma Bhava in Samadhi state. That's when we get our identity back, what we lost before. Then, so, avastatraya sakshi, and in samadhi, not as a sakshi, but as pure chaitanyam, is me, is you, says Vipalayana. Vipalayana is saying that, and you, therefore you are Brahma. That's you, the Brahma. One who is a witness in the three states, and in the samadhi state, what you become that yourself. Samadhi state, Aham Brahmasmi state. And that is real you. The real you is that, and that's Brahmam. That's all mentioned in that second line. Yel sotna jagara sushuptishu sad bahischa. Yeah? So, so, avastatraya sakshi, and in the samadhi, in the kevala surupam, in its pure form, that chaitanyam is paramatma or brahmam, and it is the absolute truth, he is saying. That is our real surupam, right? So, in order to understand this better, this avastatrayam you have to study well. Avastatrayam, right? And suppose from avastatrayam, right, you have done intense sadhana in the avastatrayam, right, and if you managed to escape from avastatrayam to samadhi state, the fourth state, if you managed to get over avastatrayam, right, and if you have succeeded in doing that through sadhana, you will be able to experience yourself that you are Sachidananda Brahman, Sachidananda Paramatma, and that is liberation. So, avastatraya sakshi, and in samadhi as kevala bhava, that means as it is, right? It is nothing but Brahman, and that is the paramatattvam. So, it is in that way it is spoken, right? So, Dehendriyasu Hridayani Charandi Yena Sanjeevidani Tadavehi Param Narendra. He is saying that is referring to the Paramatma Chaitanya. So, first line is Narayana Stithir Bhava Pralayedra Hedrasya. Second line is Brahma. Third and fourth line is referring to the Paramatma Chaitanya. Yeah? And what he does is, Paramatma does is, he is inside us, Sandariyami, and he allows the body to work, pranam to work, function, five different kinds of pranam operating in the body. And similarly, senses, subtle body, everything. And it is only because of his presence, Sandariyami's presence, this can work. Right? So, Sarvakarana Pravartaka, that is what it is called. And that is the Paramatma Tatsum. So, in this way, basically what Pipalayana Maharshi has done, that he said, Srishti Sthiti Samharam Narayana. Avastatraya Sakshi, and in Samadhi as pure Chaitanyam, that is Brahma. And he is in Jagrat. This Paramatma Chaitanyam's role is only in Jagrat. In Jagrat, right? Gives the power to the senses, to the mind, the body, everything, gross and subtle body, and allows that to work, right? And all these things, what we call as Narayana, through Srishti Sthiti Samharam, and Brahmam, in through the Avastatraya Sakshi, and one who allows everything to work in the vacant state, as Paramatma. All three are one. That's what he's saying here. All three are one. So, Narayanam, Brahma and Paramatma is one Tattvam. And that is what was spoken as Advaya Jnanam. You remember? Vadandi Dattattvavidam Dattvamya Jnanam Advayam. That Advaya Jnanam is this. Right? Advaya Jnanam. Advaya Jnanam is present in the whole creation. Shuddha Bodham, Shuddha Chaitanyam, Shuddha Sachidanandam. That Shuddha Sachidanandam, that is our actual Swarupa. That's our actual identity, right? this, in order to know that is your identity, he is saying here, if you scrutinize and analyze this Avastatrayam, you will get it. Properly analyze it, you will get it, he says. Yeah. So this is the process. Yeah. So Avastatrayam is an important thing. It's a jnana sadhana it is. In jnana margam, it is a sadhana. This evaluation or scrutinizing Avastatrayam, it's a process they follow. So same thing in Jagrat. I was there as a witness, and in dream state I saw me again experiencing the different activities in the dream, right? And I was experiencing that dream, what I was going through in the dream state, right? And it is the same me gone in the, I saw me disappearing in the dream sleep state, right? And then from the deep sleep, I woke up, right? So, in order, when you wake up from the deep sleep, when you wake up in the morning, when you wake up, what happens to us at that time? Who wakes us up from that deep sleep? The same Antaryami wakes up. But Ahankaram comes out first. I wake up, but I wake up and I bring my false ego back again. Jiva Bhav comes back again, right? So, in order this to happen, we have to be that Antaryami, not the Jiva. That is the conclusion, right? In order when you wake up in the morning, from the deep sleep, right? The deep sleep, after the deep sleep, the Ahankaram, what happens is, Ahankaram is with him, with the Alma. So Alma let the Ahankaram out, and then he comes out, and then all the other things comes back, everything else, right? So, but if you think that, if you are only this Dehabhimanam, if you start thinking I am the Jiva, and Jiva, nothing but Jiva, if you think like that, this cannot work, right? So, the personality, which is the Jiva, is not the same one in Jagrat and the Sopna. They are different, right? And in the deep sleep, personality is not there. Personality disappears, right? In deep sleep state, we are in the Brahmam stage, Brahma Swarupam, right? But the personality in the waking state is not the same personality in the dream state. And if you look at it from the position of a jiva positions, right, you cannot say that you are the same person who is experiencing Jagrat, Sopnam and Sushupti. If you look at it from the jiva's position, if you look at it from the Atma's position, you can see that the one who has witnessed all the three is the same me one. So that's how you come to conclude that, right? From the jiva's position, if you look at it, you cannot say that you are the same person who is experiencing the vacant state and the dream state and the deep sleep. You are three different personality is there. Ahankaram is different at that time. Whereas if you look at it from the position of the Atma as the Self, Antaryami, you can say that it is the same one who is going through all the three states is one. So this important point you get from this verse. So, and that is our Swarupam. Piplana Maharshi is saying to us, that's you. The one who has witnessed all these three states in three different personalities. In Jagrat, in one, Swapnam one, Sushupti another one. That's not your identity, this is your identity. So that's the main point in that verse. Yeah? So that's why that verse is important. Very important verse. Then, after that he's saying that the he told us, you know that's you, he said. Right? But by saying that, how do I experience that? Right? Thinking that, he says, I have told you to know that that's you, but due to that, have you experienced that? No. To explain that is the next verse. Naidan mano vigishari vaguda chakshuralpa pranendriyani jetha analam achishaswaha shabdhobi bhotaka nishetada alpamulam arthoktamaha yadade na nisheta siddhi. That's the answer for that. Yeah? He's saying that the problem why we don't get it. Yeah. Theoretically you understood this. What Piplana is saying, right? Theoretically we have understood. But we are not able to do anything with it. This theoretical knowledge. We are not able to do anything with it. And the problem for that is explaining in this verse. That's what he's saying in this verse. Yeah? Why, after you heard this first verse, you are not able to do anything with it in practical life? Nothing you can do with it. And the main problem is this 36th verse, what he's saying here. First problem, the mind cannot comprehend it, this knowledge. What was spoken in that verse, mind cannot comprehend it. If you observe your own mind, you can see the nature of the mind is, mind will get involved in everything, but then after some time mind feels that he cannot comprehend that thing. Then what the mind does is, it goes to sleep. It gives up. Mind gives up. You notice that, haven't you? For example, you see, we're sitting in this planet now. We get some idea about this planet, this world, what we are living in. But when we talk about heavenly planets or hellish planets and all that, we get lost there. Hellish planets are discussed in the Bhagavatam a lot, right? But when I read through that hellish planets, can there be something like this? You start thinking. There is a huge pot in that you have put all the sinful people have been put and you are frying them there. And your mind is thinking all these things. Is it not? And similarly, there are these Yamadharmaraja's agents with their big, what do they call, the spear, poking into your body. And you are thinking, in your mind you are imagining all these things, isn't it? So that's why then we say that, can this be all real? Is that real? Why? Because mind is not able to relate with it. That's the problem. And that's the same problem here. He's saying here, that mind cannot enter into this side. Mind has its own limitations. We don't recognize that. Because we are so used to using the mind in everything. Is it not? All we know is how to use the mind. And we keep on saying to the world, to my mind, I'm thinking like this, it's my mind. And what's your mind? Mind is not taken very seriously in Vedantam. It's just a botheration all the way. So therefore, it is saying here that mind cannot enter into it. First problem, right? So when he said that this is the tattvam, That is you, when he said that. Mind can relate with anything which senses can relate with very easily. Sense objects, for example. Mind will go and make contact with sense objects, and sense objects will come back with the buddhi, it comes back. And then Antaryami gives you an experience of that inside the mind, and the mind will get some idea about it, what all it is about. And this is the level in which we are living in this world, either in the body or in the mind. Most of the time in the mind, right? So he's saying that the sense objects, right, we are able to relate with them, comprehend them, right? Why are we not able to do the same thing with the Atma? Why are we not able to do the same thing with the Atma, right? So, he's saying here that naidan mano vishati. Mind cannot enter there. Mind cannot enter there. So, people who cannot think or who cannot relate with that, yeah? Mano na vishadi, right? Mind cannot enter into it. Mind means what? Thoughts. Is it not? So, there is a whole world of mind. Manomandalam, it's called. And in that manomandalam, or that field, this tattvam cannot get into it. Antaryami principle cannot get into it, right? The reason for that is, he's saying here, that this is an important thing, yeah? If you observe the mind will know everything. And the mind has come from the soul. But if you ask the mind to tell us about the soul, he cannot. You see? The soul is the drashtava. Mind is the drishyam. Everything else is drishyam. Drishyam cannot relate with drashtava. Soul is the drashta, the seer. Mind is the seen. So therefore, even though the seen can never know the seer, this is the principle. Drishya vivegam. There is a book about that. Drishya vivegam. To understand the difference between drashtava and drishyam. Drugya means drashtava. So between drashta and drishyam, that difference is what's spoken there. Drishyam can never see drashta or drikka. Antaryami or soul is drikka. When we say drikka, what that means is, he is the one who is actually seeing everything. You see, when I say something, I've seen this. I tell others, I've seen that, I've seen this, I've seen that. I'm saying based on my experience in the mind, right? Mind also cannot see anything. Mind was able to see it and report it like this because of the real seer is inside, Krishna inside. That's Antaryami who is seeing everything. He is the real seer. Who? Antaryami inside. He is the one who is the drukha, everything. But falsely we think mind has seen, mind has experienced, and I am identifying with the mind and thinking that I have seen it. This is the way we are, our vyavaharam goes in this world, right? So, so, whenever we experience something, or it becomes a subject to our senses.
Subject to our senses, right?
Or buddhi. Buddhi goes with the sense objects, right? And buddhi brings information about the object inside. And it becomes an experience inside us. Yeah. That's when we get to know things in this world. So, knowing something means when the senses go to the sense objects with the brain, with the intelligence, buddhi, and buddhi and the senses together bring that object back inside us, and antaryami inside allow the mind to process it, what the buddhi has brought. Antaryami allows the mind to process it. And it is after process only, after the processing, you are saying, I know it. I know it. So, so the key player in all this thing is antaryami. Not the mind, not the senses, not the buddhi. It is antaryami who is the key player there. Right? What here, what he is saying here is that naidan mano vishadi vagu da chakshu atma prana indriyani cha yatha analam akshishasva. Anything that you've seen, you have known, is drishyam, any vastu. But the one who is knowing everything, he cannot be known by any of these things. One who is knowing everything cannot be known by all these tools what you have got. Mind, intelligence, senses, all other things. Right? Therefore, mind is, that rishis have said that very openly. Don't try with your mind to understand this. Yeah? So, and that thing which cannot be known through the mind, but mind gets its power from whom to process everything, that is the truth. So this is another way of saying the nature of Atma. Atma's character is like that. Yeah? Atma vastu, and that's you, says Pipalayana Maharshi, right? In other, Upanishad says, that vastu whom you are talking about now is not a devada whom you are worshipping in a form. It's consciousness it is, bodham, not the form. Form, we have given a name to that. But that is pure consciousness, it is, right? See, for example, in mind you can think about so many other things, isn't it? Other objects in this world, right? But the power that gives to the mind to analyze things, sankalpam vikalpam. And who is responsible for the mind to work in a particular way, that Sachidananda Brahman, Atma, cannot be subjected to study with the mind, cannot be subjected to the mind to study. Mind cannot do anything with it. Right? Where does mind get the power to think? When the Sachidananda Brahman, Antaryami inside, enters into the mind. That's when it is able to think, right? So, by this Sachidananda Brahman, its reflection in the mind, that's when mind starts working. You know the subtle body. Is the subtle body, how does it work? Because antaryami gets in, right? First it gets into chittam.
then into ahankaram, then into buddhi, then into the mind. That's how it is. It flows. If you want a flow circuit, that's how it flows. The Andaryami Chaitanyam flows into the in the engineering language, if you want to put it that way. Because all these things are happening, and it is only because of its presence. When it entered into buddhi, buddhi was able to make the decisions. Only when it entered into ahankaram, it started acting with ego. When it entered into chittam, the vasana started working. When it entered into the mind, it started processing everything. But even though it is like that, this mind can do all the other things, except it cannot know this power that is coming to the mind, which is giving the power to the mind. Mind cannot say anything about it. That's the way it is built. We are built like that. That is our setup inside. Yeah? So even if you struggle very hard with your mind and brain and everything, you will never be able to understand Atma. You can think as much as you want about Atma and put all your, fully focused and everything with all your best efforts you try, you won't get to know Atma. That's what Pipalaya Maharshi is saying there, that mind cannot do that. Again, the same thing. Drashtava cannot become drishyam. Drashtava cannot become drishyam. And this is spoken in Upanishads and in the Shuddhi Gita, in both places. Shuddhi Gita begins with like that. Upanishad also says, Yado vaja nivartande aprapya manasa saha. It says, aprapya it is for mind. Mind cannot go there. Mind has reached its boundary. Yet your words cannot reach that. Yado vaja nivartande aprapya manasa saha. Upanishad. In Shuddhi Gita, the same thing. It begins with that. Yeah. Tadeva brahmam vidhi. So, words cannot talk about that Chaitanyam because words is coming from Vagindriyam, the sense of speech, power of speech, right? And it gets its power from this Andaryami. So, words cannot express that. And that Sachidananda Brahman, Paramatma Chaitanyam, due to that, this Vagindriyam, or the sense of speech, is able to work. But that Vagindriyam cannot talk about him. And because Vagindriyam gets its power from him. Just like mind cannot do anything, because mind gets its power from him. So, this principle is what is spoken, Drishya Vivekam, in this verse, right? All senses in us, five senses of knowledge, all those five senses, can only work if Andaryami Chaitanyam enters into it. Yeah? Andaryami Chaitanyam enters into it. But none of these senses, which gets its power from Andaryami, can do anything about Andaryami. Cannot say anything about Andaryami. It's the same problem. All senses, mind, intelligence, all these things cannot say anything about Andaryami. But they can all work only if Andaryami is there. This is the relationship between mind, senses, intelligence, ahankaram, everything. All other things in the subtle body and the senses, their relationship with the Andaryami is like this. That they can only work if Andaryami is there. But if you ask any one of them, look, you are all working with Antaryami's power. Tell us what this Antaryami is about. They can't answer. They don't know anything about Antaryami. So Antaryami has kept them at a distance in that way. Kept them in their position, right? So that is what he is saying, Chakshuratma. Yeah? Chakshuratma means that your eyes are there, but you can't see with the eyes. Because eye is working only because of his presence, but I cannot see him. Eye is working because of his presence, but I cannot see him. I can see everything else except him. Similarly, ear. Ear can hear everything, but ear cannot hear him. Ear cannot hear him. Right? In the same way, other senses also. They can all do their different functions because of Antaryami's presence. But none of them can say anything about Antaryami. If it is like that, why do we say we should hear? That question comes, isn't it? Shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, they say in the jnana sadhana. And shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam in the bhakti sadhana. In both, shravanam is being given importance. And we say we should hear about him, hear about him, hear about him. We keep saying that, right? In all these things, Paramatma Tattvam is not directly spoken. Then, because how are we hearing about Paramatma? With the mind you cannot think about Paramatma, right? We know that the power mind gets to function is coming from Paramatma, but Paramatma does not have the capacity to think about Paramatma. Mind does not have the capacity to think about Paramatma, right? So this is how we hear about Paramatma. Through mind hear this, that mind cannot say anything about Paramatma, but mind gets its power from Paramatma, right? It is not saying that this is Paramatma. Mind cannot say that, right? So Upanishads, when they talk about it, what they will say to us is, it doesn't tell us that this is Paramatma. Never, it says, right? What it will say is, mind cannot think without the help of Paramatma. That is how Upanishads will say. Or in other words, the chinda shakti, or the power to think for the mind, is given by the Paramatma. That power is Sachidananda. Sachidananda Paramatma. The one that gives power to the mind to think and scrutinize things, that power is Paramatma. That is how Upanishad will say. Right? So all these Upanishad explanations are is in this level, in the sense that Paramatma Chaitanyam, when it enters into anything, it becomes functional. It starts functioning. Whether it is mind, or its intelligence, or its senses, right? So, in Upanishads, spoken about Paramatma in that way, right? Directly, Upanishad will never tell you, this is Paramatma. Pointing out that this is Paramatma, it cannot say that, right? Even though it is not a subject for the mind to talk about, the way it is spoken is that the one that gives power for the mind to work and giving that, supplying that power to the mind to function, that Antaryami inside, Sachidananda Paramatma, By whose presence the mind is able to do its work. That Chaitanyam is Paramatma. That Chaitanyam is. This is how far Upanishad also can say about Paramatma. Up to this point only. It cannot tell you what is Paramatma. What it can tell you is, the mind, when it's working, the power what the mind gets from the source, which is Antaryami, Paramatma. And with that power the mind will work. This is how far Upanishad will say about the mind and Paramatma. Mind and Paramatma, right? So, so this is how you hear. Shravanam is like that. And gradually what happens is, you start realizing the limitations of the mind. Because you see, when we have lived in the mind all the time, we start thinking that everything is within the capacity of the mind. We got used to that thinking, is it not? So therefore, when we come to spiritual life also, because that's what we do in schools and colleges, we study all these subjects through mind and intelligence. And we bring and apply that same thing to spiritual knowledge also. And it's not working. So then we get frustrated. Why it's not working, we say. Right? Then we question everything. That doesn't help. So Upanishads have told us this. That first, to make us understand our limitations. That's the first step. To make us understand our limitations. Once you understand your own limitations, then you realize it that you have, there is some other way of finding it out. And that is where the Shravanam process comes, right? So when Shravanam happens, strictly speaking, what happens is, when your mind is not working, Shravanam is most effective. When your mind is not working. That means, when you are in total Shanti state, when you hear the truth from Upanishads, it will go straight into your heart, Antaryami will accept it. And that will be enough for you. You don't need the mind anymore. But the problem for all of us is this mind. Mind will interfere. It will put the spanner somewhere and not allow you to. As soon as you hear, mind will get in and start analyzing it, and then the whole thing is gone. So that's where the problem is, right? So, so that Chaitanyam which gives the power to the mind is Antaryami, that's you, right? And it cannot be spoken with the words, and it is the Paramatma Chaitanyam. I cannot explain that because I can only work when the Chaitanyam comes into the I. And I gets its culture, power of vision comes from Antaryami, right? Same thing with the ear, right? So in this way, our five senses of knowledge and our five senses of action, as well as the whole subtle body, all of that gets its power. But at the same time, separate from all of them, he remains, and that is Paramatma. And there they don't say who Paramatma is, right? This is how Paramatma is spoken. So, it is in this understanding you have to hear about Paramatma. In this understanding. Right? So, words cannot talk about it, right? And but words cannot talk about it. If words are talking about it, it is ability to speak. It's coming from Paramatma. That's how you can say about it, right? Similarly, mind cannot comprehend it, but the power to comprehend things is coming from Paramatma. This is how Upanishad will talk, right? So, in order to hear this again and again, that hearing is Shravana. That hearing is Shravana, right? That means it is not subjected to any of the senses or the mind. But have you noticed one thing? When we say that, immediately your mind comes and start analyzing that. That's the way it is. This is the problem. That what it is saying is that mind cannot comprehend it, what it is. But mind gets its power from him. Antaryami. Same with all five senses of knowledge, five senses of action, everything in the subtle body. Everything is working well because of he support. He gives the power to all of them to work. But none of them can talk about him. Now, when this is spoken, what happens first? Your mind comes and starts analyzing it straight away. Such is the grip of the mind on us. And this is what we have to escape from. This is what Bhagavad Gita is all about. When Krishna is talking about the mind, if you see that, how many places Krishna has spoken about the mind in the Bhagavad Gita, right? And the power of the mind, and says to Arjuna, Arjuna, this mind is your friend or enemy. If you win over mind, you have won the battle, he said. If the mind is under your control, that means mind is not interfering in your spiritual life. In other words, if you have become free from that. Yeah? So, none of the senses can do anything about it, right? And this you have to keep on thinking, this principle, that my mind, my intelligence, my senses, none of them can work without his presence inside. In this way, establishing yourself in that knowledge firmly inside, that is a sadhana. That is a sadhana, right? So, and this has to become a continuous awareness inside, and that is called a nididhyasana. Shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam. So nididhyasana means this bodham coming in, awareness inside, that none of them can work without. If you keep on thinking like that, what will happen is, over a period of time you start realizing that antaryami is more important than all the other things. This is how you get to realize him inside. Presence of Krishna inside is realized in this way, gradually, over a period of time. Over a period of time. Right? So, so in the same thing with the words you cannot express, eyes you cannot see, with buddhi you cannot think about it, you cannot determine anything, what it is, with the buddhi, right? In other words, Paramatma Swarupam, you cannot define by any of these things, right? And and also, he mentions there that Shabdo Vibhavatakam, this is the essence of this verse, right? Naidan Mano Vishari Vaguda Chakshur Atma Pranendriyani Jayadha Alamarchishaswa Shabdobi Bodhaga Nishetana Alma Mulam Arthokta Mahayadrade Na Nisheda Siddhi. Then he is saying here, we spoke about the senses of knowledge, mind, intelligence, everything, right? But even for senses of action, Yadhan Alamarchishaswa, just like from the fire, a lot of sparks come, right? Similarly, but the sparks does not cause any problem or the main fire, right? Similarly, these things, which one? Mind, prana, senses, buddhi, all these things cannot do anything with the Paramatma, Antaryami Chaitanyam. Right? Tvam Toba Nishadam Purisham Prachami, it says here that Upanishads also says the same thing. So So it is from this that this thing you heard about neti neti, not this, not this. And it has come from that. Yeah. So when you say with the senses, says not this, not this. Senses cannot do it. Mind cannot do it. Intelligence cannot do it. None of them can do it. And when they all say they can't do it, they can't say about him. So when you have said that, through the mind, through the intelligence, through the senses, prana and everything, when all of them said they cannot talk about him, and that him who cannot be spoken by any of these is him. Do you get the point? That's what he is. The one who cannot be addressed with the mind or the intelligence or the senses, none of them can talk about him. They are all saying that. We cannot talk about him. So you leave all of them, mind, intelligence, senses, everything. After leaving all of them, one who remains still there to be spoken about, that's him. That's you, he's saying. Atma. Right? So that is this Arthoktamaha Yadode Na Nisheda Siddhi. That is that Nisheda Siddhi. Nisheda Siddhi means that. You nishedham, nishedham means denying everything. Everyone is not able to say anything about him. So if you leave them all behind, then who is left to be spoken about? That's him. Na nisheda siddhi. So that is what he here. Yeah. Actually, this verse 35, 36, 37, there's a few verses like that, 38, 39, 40. All these verses are Upanishad verses, and Piplayana Maharshi has spoken. So out of these nine yogis, he's one of the prominent ones. All of them are prominent. They all have spoken, and Ekadasha Skandam is based on Navayogi Samvadam, right? And this is what Krishna has expanded to Uddhava, the same knowledge. What he gave this to his Vasudev through Narada Maharshi. Narada Maharshi went and spoke this to him. Nimina Vayogi Samvadam to Vasudeva. Vasudeva was having a problem. He is thinking, he is my son. Why do I have to worry about? Krishna said, no, nothing doing. You have to realize yourself, yourself. Like he said to Uddhava, he said the same thing to Vasudeva also. So Vasudeva asked him, what do I do now? So that time Narada Maharshi gave this Nimina Vayogi Samvadam to him. That's how it came about. Yeah. So. So this spark does not cause any problem for the main fire. Even though spark has come from the fire, right? But it doesn't have the capacity to destroy the fire. And similarly, all these senses, they get its power from the Antaryami and the mind, everything. But that Paramatma Chaitanyam, Antaryami Chaitanyam, the senses cannot say anything about it. Mind cannot talk anything about it. Buddhi cannot do anything with it. So that's what we're saying here. When the spark comes out from the main fire is not showing us the spark with its light. The spark showing its power to us with its own light. That's how we see the spark, right? Similarly, in all our senses also, Antaryami goes in, right? But senses cannot show the presence of Antaryami in them. But when the senses are working, you know that Antaryami is in him. The same example between the spark and the fire. Right? Spark came out from the big fire. After that, the spark doesn't need the support of the main fire to show its existence. It's a spark on its own, working. When you see the spark, we see the spark is separate from the main fire, but it's working. But it has come from the main fire. In the same way, say our senses, our mind, our intelligence, everything, it has all come from the soul. Because the soul is present in them, it has worked, right? But when you look at them and you ask them to tell us about where it came from, they cannot say anything. From their work, you have to assume that it got its power from the soul. Got its power from the soul. And that Paramatma Chaitanyam cannot be understood through the senses. Through the senses. If it is like that, this Paramatma Tattva, about which Upanishads have spoken, Vedam says that I would reach that state of Paramatma. Vedam says like that, right? In the how is that possible if it is like this, right? So that is where it says here. You see that? Shabdobi bhotaka nishetada yalpa moolam arthoktamaha yadude na nisheda siddhi. Shabda gocharatvam. There is a Veda mantra based on that, right? And the disciple or Shishya is asking that I want to know about that Purusha spoken in the Vedam. And Upanishads are able to able to present him, because the disciple is asking like that. There it says that Shabdobi Bhodaka Nishetada Yalpa Moolam. Paramatma Swarupam is spoken in Vedam also paroksham, indirectly spoken, right? Not in the full form, real as it is, right? It's not spoken like that. The way it will say is that chakshusha chakshu, manaso mana, means that with the mind you cannot think about it, but the power that comes to the mind to think is that Chaitanyam which comes from Paramatma. Similarly, the word for the word, in the sense that word cannot explain it, but the power for the word to express something, it's coming from Paramatma, right? So, in all these things, what Upanishad does is that it is pointing out to the function of that particular entity, whether the senses or the mind or the intelligence, whatever it may be. But this mantra particularly talks about the Chaitanyam that comes from the Antaryami. What is that Chaitanyam? Just to make this more clear. Suppose there is a cow there. I point out to the cow and say, here is a cow. Right? In the same way, I cannot point out and say, this is Paramatma. I can't do that. Right? So therefore, because it's not possible to do that, Upanishad Mandram talks about Paramatma in paroksha, in indirect way, right? Bodhaka nishedhadaya. Bodhaka nishedhadaya means Upanishads are saying we won't be able to tell you about it, but edo vaja nivartande aprapya manasa saha. In other words, Upanishads are all saying that we won't be able to talk about it. Upanishads are saying this, right? But indirectly we can explain it to you what Paramatma is. So that is what is called the paroksha. You know, in Bhagavatam it talks paroksha vado vedoyam balana manishasanam. It says everything is paroksham. Krishna has spoken this. Krishna says this because everything is spoken paroksham in the Vedam. Nobody understands Vedam, he said. You see, nobody understands Vedam. Vedic scriptures is not like other scriptures. It's coming from a different plane altogether. Yeah. So, we have to know our limitations first. Why we are limited, right? Even those who go to study Vedam in the schools, in the Gurukulam and all that, they also know their limitations. Even after spending years and years reciting the Vedam, if you ask them, what have you realized now? They will say the same thing. We haven't realized anything. We have studied the Vedam. Now we have to realize it, they say. We have studied it, but now we have to realize it. That's what they will also say, the same thing. That has to be done through Upasana. It is spoken in the, where, I'll tell you where in Bhagavatam it's spoken. Punajana Vakyanam. At the end, Sri Narada Maharshi says about the same thing, about the Vedam. Krishna talks about it in the Ekadasham, about the Vedam. Navayogis talk about the Vedam at the end. So Vedam is like that. So people say, why don't you translate it? What translation can you do for this? Translation doesn't help. Even if you have studied Sanskrit, you don't understand it. So what chance have got the translated one? How is it going to help? So the whole thing what Max Muller and others have done is all a waste of time. They also have not understood it. That's why people laugh at it. When, you know, Max Muller, he did all the translations of the Vedam into English. And he was given some award and prize for that. But what benefit from that? Absolutely nothing. And the people who read it later on said that we don't understand what it is all about. But he has translated it. So they are always thinking. It is like any other mundane literature. And that's how they are trying to study Vedam. And that won't work. And Krishna is saying in the Bhagavatam, in three different four places, it is paroksham. It is paroksham. Right? Everything that is spoken in the Vedam is paroksham. And Krishna says there is a reason for that as well. I want it like that, he said. Why? Because otherwise, people who are not qualified for that, because unless you have sufficient chitta shuddhi, purity inside, you will become a demon after studying. And if you become a demon, you will start abusing Vedam after that. So Krishna's protection is this paroksha. Parokshavado vedoyam balana manushasanam, says later on. So when you approach Vedam, you have to have a frame of mind for that. A certain qualification inside. Chitta shuddhi is the qualification. One who has sufficient purity of heart, if he studies that, he will understand something from that. And you won't believe how many people have written about their own understanding about the Vedam, what they have understood. There are so many books available. Dhyananda Saraswati wrote, Aravindo wrote, and many others who have written, well-known and less-known people. They have all written about Vedam, what they have understood from the Vedam. But Krishna is saying, The real essence of the Vedam nobody understands, he says. He's kept it like that. In a very coded way, he maintained it, right? So Vedam's position is like that. We'll continue after a few minutes. Chedo darpanamarjanam bhaumaha davagni nirvavanam shreya kaidava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadho jivanam anandam budivardhanam pradipada purnamrada swadhanam sarvapna subhanambaram vijayade shri krishna sangyaktanam namna magari bahuda nijasarva shakti tatrarpida nimida smaranena kala edadrishi tavakrupa bhagavan mamabhi nurdaivami nushamiha janina nuragaha tranarabhi shunichena tarorabhi sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari nadhanam najanam nasundarim kavidamba jagadisha kamahi mama janmani janmani shuri bhavadal bhakti hai dugitvai Ainanda Vanuja Kingaram, Padinamam Shame Bhavambudo, Kubayato Bada Panganjastida Duli Sadrasham Vijindaya, Nayanam Galada Shudharaya, Vadanam Gangadarundhaya Gira, Pulagar Nijidam Gadavadu, Tavanamagrahane Bhavishani, Yugaidam Nimeshena, Chakshusha Pravishayidam, Shunyayidam Jagal Sarvam, Govinda Virahe Name. Ashlishyava padaradam pinashtumam adarshanam marmahadam karotuva yathatatava vidadadvilambado malprananathastuna evanapara sarvatra govinda nama sankirtanam govinda govinda. I said before that Vedam can only talk about Paramatma, Brahmam, Parocham. You can see that this end of this end of Avirhotra Maharshi will say that later on. In the third chapter, 44th verse. Paramokshavado Vedoyam Balanam Anushasanam Karma Mokshaya Karmani Vidhate Hagadam Yadha. The reason why what happened was that King Nimi asked a question that I have asked about this Vedam when the rishis came to our palace once. They didn't even answer me, they said. He said. They didn't even answer me when I asked them the question. So, he felt, why they don't answer my question? I have asked a very serious question about the Vedam. They didn't even answer me the question. And so, Avirhotra Maharshi is saying, the reason they didn't answer you is because, first of all, you are a child and you won't understand this. And even adults won't understand it. So what's the point in talking to you? That was the reason, he said. Because Vedam is Paroksha. That's what Avirhotra is saying there. Right? Parokshavado Vedoyam Balanam Anishasanam Karma Mokshaya Karmani Vidati Hagadam Yadha. We'll come to that later, afterwards. So this is spoken there later on about the nature of Vedam. Vedam is like that. Upanishads is part of the Vedam. And similarly, many things we won't understand what is spoken. This is why it requires so many things they say you require first. Medha Shakti, they call it. Medha Shakti means able to grasp things without difficulty, without unnecessary doubts coming in. What is spoken, able to take it on straight away without being disturbed by all kinds of doubts and questions and anything. That's Metha Shakti, right? So, Upanishad also will tell you that what you require, what you do for Metha Shakti. There is a prayer called Metha Suktam. That Metha Suktam, if the children they recite that when they are in the Gurukulam, by reciting that Veda Suktam, automatically this Metha Shakti increases in them. It's one of the ways to do that. Then there is other methods also, like the diet and all what you get through other senses inside. That's all diminishes your Metha Shakti, power of absorption, Shraddha. So, Chandogya Upanishad will tell you about those things, what that means, right? So here the question is that Paramatma topic, if you want to discuss, the authority is Vedam first. In Paramatma Vishayam, Vedam is Pramanam. No other book is Pramanam. No other literature is Pramanam for Paramatma topic. Yeah. But at the same time, Vedam does not give you directly this knowledge of the Paramatma. And what it says is, it points out to you, this is Paramatma, and Paramatma's nature is like this, but directly to point out something like this is the lamp or this is the book, in that way it won't be able to show you Paramatma. And words cannot speak about Paramatma. But words, what it can do is that all senses are working due to the presence of Paramatma. And from that you have to conclude that Paramatma is present by the way senses are working. Then, Arthoktamaha is saying there, isn't it? Arthoktamaha. Arthoktamaha means not this, not this, right? Then, denying everything in that way. And then there is one thing that is left which cannot be denied. And pointing out to that, what has been experienced by the rishis after self-realization. That is it. Arthoktamaha yadrude na nisheda siddhi. They want to give us that experience, what they have experienced, right? Brahma anubhav, Brahma sakshatkaram, right? But it is something they also cannot give it to you directly like that, right? Because they cannot give it to you in the form of words. That's the problem. Through words, they cannot transmit Brahma sakshatkaram, right? Therefore, not saying not this, not this, not this, in that way. Ultimately they say, all this is I'm experiencing because of its presence. In that way, indirectly they can tell you what it is. Right? So, neti neti means that everything what you see here where created yesterday, one day, and it is staying here now in front of us, and tomorrow it will disappear. Everything. So it's called Kshaniya Pratibhasam. Kshaniya Pratibhasam means temporarily it exists, that's all. Right? So therefore none of this can be the truth. So if you deny everything, but at the same time all this is being, its existence is known to us by the presence of Antaryami inside. That is called Drak or Drashtava, Chaitanyam. That is Paramatma. So in this way, in an indirect way only, you can talk about Paramatma. Like everything else, you point out and say, this is it, this is it. That way you can't talk about Paramatma. Indirectly you have to come through the talking about the senses, the mind, how they work, and how Paramatma's presence is necessary for them to work. In this, and from there, where the way they work, senses and the mind and all, through their explanations, you have to understand Paramatma. That's the only way we can talk about Paramatma. So, then, mind and senses, for example, right? In samadhi state, they go. They have gone, is it not? When you go to samadhi, they have gone. Where are they, right? At that time, we experience as yourself is this Antaryami inside, Paramatma Swarupam, right? So, what it is saying is, you can know him by realizing him, but you cannot know him through senses and the mind. You can know him by realizing him, but you cannot know him like you know everything else in this world. The same way we know this world, that you cannot use in knowing Paramatma. But you can experience him and know him well, that way, right? So that is what that verse is talking about, right? So, even though all the senses are working by his presence, none of the senses can talk about him or give us his experience, right? Then sound, shabdam. Is it a pramanam in this topic of soul? Not directly, but Alma cannot be known through the Upanishads also, right? But in this way, indirect way, it can talk about Paramatma, right? That is what is word is right word for that is paroksha. Paroksha, right? It cannot be spoken through words, nor through the senses, but they all got their power from Paramatma. In this way, paroksham, and that's what Upanishad does, right? That's all Upanishad can do. So, when we talk like this, like what? Like when we speak, for example, the power of speech, where did that come from? Antaryami, Alma, right? We don't still know what Paramatma is. We say this, that Paramatma inside us has given the power for us to speak. When you speak that way about Paramatma, still you don't have any experience of Paramatma, right? All we know, in your own mind, you think that you are aware that there is a Paramatma, and that is not good enough, is it? You are accepting that on the state, based on the statement. You are accepting that, right? But actually, if you have to know Paramatma, it will only happen when you realize yourself. When you realize yourself, right? Why it's spoken like that is, Upanishad and others are only able to point out to Paramatma in this particular way, right? Nedi, nedi, it denies everything. But nedi, nedi is not Paramatma Swarupam, right? But if you reject everything, what is left behind, which cannot be seen, which cannot be experienced, and that thing is Upanishad, which cannot be experienced, which cannot be known, which you have rejected. That what they were talking about, rishis got it. That's what happened. Rishis got it, right? So when the rishis got it, they want to convey that to us, what they got it, right? But they are finding it difficult how to tell us the experience what they had of Paramatma, when they realize the self, which is paroksham. Indirectly they have spoken like this, paroksham. But they were not satisfied with that. They practiced it, this sadhana, upasana they performed, and in their very higher level of satugunam, when they developed, they experienced it. When they experienced it, they wanted to transfer that to us, to others also, so they can also experience that. But they couldn't do it. It was not possible. And that is why they are saying that it remains paroksham. Krishna has put a lock to it there, not allowing anyone and everyone to get in and take it. For various reasons, Krishna says that also. That nobody understands Vedam, he said. When somebody says like that, we start thinking, with our minds comes in straight away, and start analyzing, why is Krishna saying like that? That's the way we think. Isn't it? See, Rishis and Krishna and all, they come from a different world altogether. They don't belong to our world. And when they talk, you should not bring them to our world and start evaluating them. As I was just saying, that Krishna will say certain things which is not very encouraging in spiritual life, to tell you the truth. A lot of people, when they come to spiritual life, they think they want to change everything upside down overnight. It's not. That's not normal nature in us. Especially you join something in some institution, and then in a short time you want the progress in your spiritual path, some recognition, and you want to feel that you have made progress in spiritual life. But Krishna is saying to us, lot of your things, don't rush into it, he says. Shanai, shanai. Why did he say that? Because he knows, when we have come to this world, we have brought with us a lot of things. And that he has classified them into two, divine nature and demonic nature. It is abhijadasya bharata, he says. Even Arjuna got a doubt about himself. He thought, am I a demon? He says to Krishna, am I a demon? Krishna says to him, you are not a demon. That is why I am speaking to you Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise I wouldn't be speaking to you Bhagavad Gita. So in that sense, none of us are demons, right? That's why we are hearing Bhagavad Gita. To that extent we can accept it. But demonic vasanas are still there inside us. We are not 100% demon. You see, it's a demonic nature in you that is preventing you from spiritual life. Not able to interest in spirituality, spiritual consciousness. Krishna is saying that that demonic nature in you will block you all the time to take into spiritual life. So that is why Krishna is saying, abhayam sattva samshuddhi jnana yoga vyavasthiti. The first three things, if you have that in abundance, then you will understand what I am saying, Krishna says. Yeah? And if you have those three, other things are minor ones. The rest of the 32 or something what he has mentioned there. They are not as important as these three. It is, in other words, these three things in different forms are the rest of it. But the demoniac nature, Krishna is saying there also, that what's a demoniac person's personality, what it would be like? He has brought with him ahangaram, such a strong level in him, dambham, darpam, krodham, parushyam, ajnanam, he says, avidya in him. The level of avidya is so high in that person, and it is not his fault. Abhijadosi Pandava, he says. He is born with that. What can you do? So, changing all that over a period of few years, with a few hours of sadhana, it's not possible. It's not possible. Better not to build big hopes about spiritual life, thinking that everything will happen over a few years. Life is not like that. And because Krishna is saying that lot of our vasana inside we have created before from karma in different bodies. That's all coming with us, following us all the time, regularly, right? So that's what I was saying, that parochavado vedoyam balanam anishasanam. Avihotra Maharshi says that. And earlier you will see Sri Narada Maharshi saying, in the case of story of the Puranjana story, Puranjana Upakhyanam, at the end, he says the same thing. So when they talk, rishis talk, when Krishna talk, they have a lot of things in their knowledge, what we don't have. We don't know anything about ourselves, do we? What we were in the past life, we have no clue. How did we end up here? We don't know. Like we were saying yesterday, how we got birth in a particular place, why we got that way, no idea. And similarly, the parents, the members of the family, who they all happen to be our members of the family. If any question is asked, no answer to that. Yeah. And these relationships are also not permanent, they have gone after some time. And rishis know these things well, how these all things happen. And so therefore when they say things like that, it's a bit difficult for us to connect with it. Because they are coming from a different angle, everything they are seeing. So, in our present state, this is how far we can talk about. Only up to this extent, right? So experiencing ourselves who we are in samadhi state, that's maximum what we can get that far, right? And at that moment, all the drishya vishayam, everything what we see is rejected, and in order to experience the sense objects, different senses are required. And those senses, they get their power from Paramatma Chaitanyam, Andaryami inside. That Shuddha Chaitanyam, Sachidananda Swarupam, is our actual identity. It's only up to that extent it can be spoken. Not more than that. Not more than that. Because we don't know about our own situation. So, Paroksham, in indirect way, Upanishad points out like that, right? And the rest of it, if you want to know about Paramatma, it will only happen after self-realization. Yeah? Whereas, this is just to compare. In our vacant state, we think that we get to know many things better. Is it not? In the vacant state. Why? Because through senses and the mind and the intelligence, we get to understand things. In a particular way, you know about sense objects. All sense objects. We see the world, we see the hear the sound, we feel the sense of touch, smell, taste. In this way, many objects we can experience through the senses and the mind, and we think that we know that object very well within us. In that way, you cannot know the soul. Soul cannot be known that way, right? Soul, only if you can go up to this extent of knowing the soul, looking at the senses and the mind and intelligence, and the way they are working, whose power is giving them the power to operate, allowing them to work and comes into action. And from their action you have to deduce or deduct the presence of the Andaryami inside. And that Paramatma Chaitanya, but he is separate from all of them under all circumstances. He remains aloof from them. So, and again you have to analyze that the presence of Andaryami is helping us to get to know this world objects, right? So initially senses goes to the sense objects. And it brings them in to the subtle body, into the buddhi. Buddhi also cooperates with the senses, and the sense objects comes in, right? But senses could do that only because of Paramatma Chaitanyam entering into the senses. Similarly, what buddhi and the senses has brought inside, buddhi takes that form. What that means is, it has a fairly good idea of everything related to that object, right? That is called buddhi-vritti, right? In that buddhi, when Paramatma Chaitanyam reflects in that, that is when you experience that in the mind. And that is why when you say, oh, I got it, I understood. When you say like that, that's what it means. You know, when you say, I got it, I understand, you say. Everything. You say, I understand, I've seen it, I understand. When you say like that, what it means is, what the buddhi has brought back with the sense objects, when Antaryami entered into buddhi, that experience of the buddhi transferred to the mind. And it's only the mind you are experiencing everything. So, when you get it into the mind, you become fully conscious of that. Isn't it? Bodham comes, right? And jiva gets that bodham, awareness of that object, right? But all this can happen only when Paramatma Chaitanyam enters into the mind and to the buddhi, right? So the important thing is Vishaya Anubhavam. Vishaya Anubhavam means sense objects, experiences like this, like the way we have spoken. Yeah? Like the way we have spoken. How in the sensual world we are living in the world of senses, right? Mind, intelligence, senses are active. And this is the process at that time. This whole process, senses, mind, intelligence and Antaryami together, what it is doing in this world cannot be transmitted into knowing Paramatma. This process, what we follow in the sensual world, how we get to know things here and how we experience it inside and how we say, I know it, I've understood. All these things is not the way to approach Paramatma. That's what he is making it clear here. Look at the next verse. The reason why. That is, Sattvam rajastamayidi trivridegamadau sutram mahan ahamidi pravadandi jivam jnanakriyartha bhalarupadayoru shakti brahmaiva bhadi sadasach tayo sadasachatayo param yat. Another heavy verse. All verses are very heavy. Heavy means that requires a lot of analysis and a lot of thinking you have to put into it. Lot of thinking. You may think you got it just reading translation, everybody can do that. But deeply to think through it and see what is Pipalaina Maharshi is saying, that you got to devote some time for that. A lot of time you have to give. Sattvam rajastamayidi trivridegamadau sutram mahan ahamidi pravadandi jivam. If it is like that, by this way what it was spoken, that you cannot do it like the way you do in this world, with the senses, mind, intelligence and all that. If Brahmam is like that, yeah, will there not be, if it is like that, there will be an opinion that Brahmam cannot be known by anything then, if it is like this. If everything is like the way we know this world, you see, knowing this world is not so complicated. If the senses, the mind, intelligence, if they all cooperate together, and if Antaryami is working inside, giving support to all of them, you will get to know a lot of things in this world. That's why we go to school and college and learn things. And scientists and big research people and all, they also have the same tools only. They don't have any other tools. All the scientists also, they also have the same tools what we have got. So, if it is like this, that Brahman cannot be known in this way, then how do you know Brahman then? That's what he's saying here, that that karya karanaatmakam, cause and effect, right? Actually, there is only Brahman here. But it is, we are seeing this separate, this world separate, right? This is a big grip on us, a powerful grip. When you are living in this world, you are seeing yourself separate from the world. You exist and then the world exists. And then if you want to add some spice to it, you say God exists somewhere else. And then it gives you something to fight about. In the speaker's corner, you can fight day in and day out about this God whom they are talking about. But this is not Vedic concept, right? Vedic concept is like this, that karya karanaatmakam, cause and effect, right? Means that, is this world real, first of all? Where is this world coming from? So they all believe that somebody has come and created and then he has gone and resting there and watching this, what he has created. That's how they look at it, right? Rishis didn't look at it that way. They say if it is existing in front of us like this, in this form, there must be a reality behind it, existing somewhere. This is not real anyway, the world, because it's continuously changing, it's not the truth. And it's been created, so that means it'll get destroyed one day, so it cannot be the truth. They concluded that, right? So there must be a cause from him, from whom all this has come. Karya karanam, karanam and karyam, right? So this is thulam, isn't it? Gross it is. So the karanam must be sushmam. From sushmam, thulam comes. That is normal rule, it's like that. From sushmam comes the sthulam. Take our own body for example. We were in the sushmam form in the womb of the mother. Then it became sthulam, 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 and one day we came out in sthulam. And then became more sthulam, 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 and we became one day the sthulam gone. Right? So everything in this world in the same way, because it is thulam, its karanam, cause behind that, must be sushmam. Must be sushmam. For example, what they are saying in the Upanishad is that this earth is prithivi, sthulam it is, right? And earth is sthulam. And its prithivi is the tanmatra, which is the sushma. Sushma form of this earth is prithvi, right? And how did that happen? That prithvi, where did that come from? Water transformed in the form of prithvi, tanmatra. Water transformed in the form of prithvi, and that prithvi, tanmatra, has transformed in the gross form like the world. So, in this way, everything in this creation is karanam karyam, karanam karanam, karya karanaatmakam it is called, cause and effect, right? And so sushmam is always the cause of sthulam. Sushmam is the cause of sthulam, right? If you go back in this way, all the five elements, one after the other, if you keep going backwards, you will find that everything has come from one source at the end, and that is Brahman. So From Brahman came everything over a long period of time, transforming itself in different ways, and finally ended up like this, the way it is in front of us, right? So, therefore, their conclusion is, rishis are saying, this is all karyam, everything that has come out like this, there is one karanam behind it, the cause behind that, right? And this karyam cannot be different from karanam. Karyam cannot exist separately from karanam. It doesn't have an existence. Karyam and karanam are connected each other. Karya karanatmakam, it is called, right? So, everything what you find here in this world, whether it is stulam, sushmam, whatever it may be, Brahmam is the source, from this has all come. Right? And they are not different from Brahmam. They are not different from Brahmam. This is another principle science will find it difficult to understand. Vacharambanam vigaro namatheyam mrtigatyeva satyam. Upanishad says that. Yeah? That means, their principle is that, they are giving an example here. Clay, if you take. Clay can transform itself into different forms, is it not? Say, earthen pot for flower pot, it can be. It can be pot for cooking. It can be a pitcher for storing water. So different forms, clay can take it. They are all names, right? But they are all made of the same material. In this way, if you keep on looking back into everything, ultimately you will realize that it is only Brahmam that has become like this, in these different forms, what we find here. And that Brahmam doesn't have any cause behind that. It existed always, right? So, Brahmam doesn't have, it was not created and it doesn't get destroyed. So, Brahmam becomes the cause of everything, and creation, and everything in this creation, right? The cause is Brahmam, creation is the effect, right? And Brahmam is with its power, energy. So, in that Brahmam, right, an unusual power comes, anirvachaniyam, unusual power, and that is called Maya. And this whole show is done by Maya, right, and that Maya Shakti is in Brahmam, right. And with that power, Brahmam can become many, like the way it is displaying in front of us, right? So, with that power of Brahmam, it is able to take so many namarupam, rupam, veda, bhavam, all these different kinds of things it has taken. That is the power of Maya, actually. And that power is in Brahmam. Maya is in Brahmam. And but when that Maya comes, all these things happen, right? So Brahmam, Maya, two things. From Brahmam comes Maya, and Maya has the capacity to do everything in the way, right? And so that is why in Upanishad they say, Ekam evam adhudiyam Brahmam. Yeah? So, pure Sachidananda Brahmam exists, Egam, Evam, nothing there, pure Sachidananda Brahmam, but this power is present in that Brahmam, right? And from that Brahmam, this Maya came, which is made of Sattugunam, Rajogunam and Tamogunam, three gunam has come, right? So, So the pure Sachidananda Brahmam, become a Maya, can take this form of Maya, Trigunalpaniya it is called, right? And when it has taken that Maya form, what he is saying here, you see that? Sutram Mahan Ahamidi Pravadandi Jivam Satvam Rajastamayidi Trivridegamadav Sutram Mahan Aham Idi Pravadandi Jivam. Sutram Mahan Aham Idi Pravadandi Jivam means that Kriya Shakti, Icha Shakti, Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti, Surubini. Drivishakti, Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti. Three Shaktis spoken in the third canto. Kriya Shakti is the Sutram. And Jnana Shakti is Mahan, Mahatattva. Yeah. So, from that Brahmam, Maya came, and then from Maya came these three, Drivya Shakti, Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti. And in their Samashti form, it is called Mahatattvam, and Brahmam is known through Mahatattvam at that time. So, Brahmam itself has become in the form of Maya then. So, Brahmam, Maya has come from Brahmam, right? Karanam has become Karyam now. So, this Maya which has come from Brahmam is not different from Brahmam. Brahmam is present in Maya. In other words, Brahmam is present in Maya. Brahmam is Chaitanyam. Brahmam we spoke about in the previous verse. Isn't it? What Brahmam is? In the earlier verses, we say that Vipalayana Maharshi talked about that, the first verse. Stitil Bhav Palay Hedra Hedrasya. So, this is all referring to that one. Creation, maintenance, destruction. That part of it. In the second one we discussed already, Swapna Jagra Sushupti, that's what we are discussing this morning. The three states and how to understand that one tattvam through the three states. That's what we discussed this morning. Now, in creation, maintenance, destruction, how it works. That is what is discussed in this verse. So, Maya Shakti has got Drivya Shakti, Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti, three things, right? So all these three Shaktis, its sum total is Mahatattvam, and Brahmam is present in the form of Mahatattvam, and Brahmam has become Maya, and from Brahmam came Maya. In other words, Karanam has become Karyam. So, Maya which has come from Brahmam is not different from Brahmam. Maya is also Brahmam, right? And from that Maya came Mahatattvam. And it is also called a Sutra. You see that? Satvam Rajastamaivi Tribhurdega Madhav Sutram. Sutram, right? So, when do you call it a Sutram? When it is based on Kriya Shakti, that means creation. It is called a sutra. So, when this out of the three, Drivya Shakti, Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti, out of that, when Kriya Shakti comes, it is called a sutra. Right? On the basis of that. Based on the Jnana Shakti, it is called Mahatattvam. On the basis of Jnana Shakti, it is called Mahatattvam. So, these three Shaktis and all the combined power of all that, samashti form, in sum total, has come, and that is called Mahatattvam, Sutram. All these words are for that. Right? So, again, it all came from Brahmam, right? So, Brahmam is the origin. And Brahmam is responsible for Maya. Brahmam is responsible for Mahatattvam also. So Brahma, in one form it is Maya, in another form it is Mahatattva. From Maya came Mahatattva. But Brahma is there in Mahatattva as well. And from that, Ahamiti, he says, Sutram Mahan Ahamiti Parvadandi Jivam. And it is from that Mahatattva came Jiva. Ahamiti, right? Jiva. So what that means is, Jiva means Ahankaram, isn't it? Ego inside us, right? That Brahma has taken that form now. Brahma has taken the form of Maya, then it has become Mahatattva, and from that called Sutram, and then it became Ahamtattva, and that is called Ahankaram, and that's called the Jiva. So Jiva and Brahma are not different. They are Brahma, right? Jiva. So, but Jiva Subhadi is Ahankaram. Ahankaram it is, right? Ahankaram. Ahankara root form it has taken, Brahma, right? So, from Mahatattvam, this Jiva Ubadi, Jiva can only stay in Ahankaram. Only when Ahankaram is there, Jiva is there. So, in our subtle body, the Ahankaram is that Jiva, right? And so, strictly speaking, Ahankaram is also Brahma, Brahma Swarupa, right? But when it all started, in the beginning, it was pure Sachidananda. Pure Sachidananda, right? Then Maya came, Prakriti, Trigunatmika. Then Maya, Brahma took the form of Maya. And from Maya came Mahatattva. It is called Sutram or Mahatattva, right? And then all powers came into that. Dravyajnana Kriya Shakti. All came into that. Pradhanam. Or from that came this Pradhanam, it is called another name. From that came this Mahatattvam, which is also Brahma Swarupam. So, Karanam is Brahma. These are all Karyam. After effect, right? Karanam is present in front of us in the form of Karyam, in all these different forms, right? So, Brahmam, from came Pradhanam, Pradhanam Mahatattvam, and so Brahmam itself is in the form of Pradhanam and in the form of Mahatattvam, and from Mahatattvam Ahankaram came, which is Jiva, right? So again, Brahmam, in the form of Ahankaram, Brahmam in the form of Mahatattvam is again changed its form into Ahankaram, Ahankara Rupam, right? So that's what he is saying, that Sutram Mahan Ahamiti Pravadandi Jivam, he says. Sattvam rajastama idi trivrdegamadau sutram mahan ahamidi pravadandi jivam. Jnanam. Jnanam means all the indriya adhishtadra devada, all the predominating deities of the senses, right? And he says, phalarubatayuru shakti means that Bhalam Prakasham. Brahmaiva Bhadi Sadasacha Tayo Paramyat. Right? These senses, what we have. When we discussed third canto, we were talked about this before, that the Adhishtadra Devada are there, Upasya Devada are there, in every sense. There's a whole list in the third canto. For each sense, who are the Adhishtadra Devada, who are the Upasya Devada? It is listed there, right? So, in that Devada form, who is present? Brahma. Brahma is present in them, right? So, everything is Brahma. At the end, right? Everything is Brahmam. But the names will change depending on the role it's playing, right? So, in this way, for the existence of the Brahman, you don't require any pramana, because it came from that, everything. Chaitanyam. Originally, everything starts from Chaitanyam. In Shastram, everything begins with Chaitanyam first. Yeah. Stulam or Sad Karyam, Asad Sushvam Karanam. In this way, Karya Karanatmakam Prapancham is all ultimately is Brahmam. That's what he is saying here. He says, Jnanam Kriya Artha Phala Rupa Tayori Shakti Brahmaiva Bhadi Sadasachya Tayo Param Yad. Right? What he is saying is that in whatever you see in this creation as cause and effect, everything, the root cause of all this is Brahmam at the end. Right? And the explanation for that is that karyam, effect, is not different from the cause. Right? Cause itself comes in the form of effect. Sata means stulam karyam, asata means sushvam karanam. So, karya karanatmaka prapancham. So, then the question comes, how is it possible that one power can manifest in different forms? One power. How can it do that? Right? That is the power of Brahmam. Brahmam's power is like that. Yeah. It can, with its power, become many and manifest it and show its power through many, many channels in many ways. Like the way it has done through Maya, through Mahatattvam, then Ahamtattvam as Jiva. In all these different forms, it can come. It can come like that. Yeah. And they gave the example that Vajarambanam Vikaro Namathayam Mrityatyeva Satyam, that how clay can take all these different forms and do different work. For example, when it is in the form of a big pot, you are storing water in that. Then a flower pot. Then a cooking pot. Then you have got these lamps where you light them for Diwali and all that. Lamp also made of clay. So clay is the same material, but it can take all these different forms and function different ways. Function different ways, right? So clay is the cause and the effect is all the other things, right? Similarly, Brahmam is the cause. These are examples closer to the tattvam spoken, right? You should not just think that Brahmam is clay and we are all the pots and the... That's not how to understand that, right? You know what I'm saying? That when you take these examples, the something that is as close as possible to explain the tattvam is spoken, right? You should not think that, See, this is how people misunderstand. They will think, I heard now, Brahmam is clay, is it? And we are all the pots then. That's not what it means. What it means is, in a way, a comparison, like snake and the rope, when we say, when the snake, we saw something and we thought it is snake, right? But then when they brought the torch and looked at it, there was no snake. There was rope. So, what happened now? Rope was originally there. There was no snake. Snake has come in middle. And then snake disappeared when the torch came. Similarly, when you bring knowledge into things, anything, when the knowledge comes, ignorance goes. And then you see the reality. So, what do we understand from that? That the snake and rope example is to convey this point that avidya goes away when vidya comes. When knowledge comes, ignorance goes away. So if I start thinking, It's all, oh, it's like snake and rope, is it? So all these examples are spoken only to make us easier for us to understand the tattva. That's all. You should not, as it is, take it like that. As it is, you should not do that with these examples. They are not as it is, right? Because if you take it as it is, you will be in trouble. The problem with the examples is like that. Avidya goes away when vidya comes. To say that, they have taken that example, snake and rope, rajasarpa. It's in the Bhagavad many places, right? Why did they take that example? Because it's a good example in the sense that when I saw it in the twilight, I thought it is a snake, right? So, why did I think that it is a snake? Why did I think? Because to recognize it as a snake, I must have seen a snake before somewhere else. That sarpa samskaram must be inside me. That is why I was able to think of it as a snake. Is it not? You must have seen a snake before somewhere, and that must be lying inside you as a vasana. So when you saw that rope lying there, immediately your mind went straight away into snake. Why? Why did that happen? Because sometimes, somewhere, you have seen a snake and it is lying inside you as a samskara, vasana, inside. That made you to think like that as a snake, sarpa, it's called, vasana inside, yeah? Then, for you at that moment, there is only snake there. There is no rope there. Then, you cry, there is a snake here, bring some light on the stick to kill. Somebody came running with the rope, with the torch and the stick to kill the snakes. When you put the torch on, you saw there is no snake there. And so there was no killing, there was no snake. What you saw, it was a rope. There was no snake. So what happened to the snake now? Something that was not there has come, and the way it has gone. When knowledge came, it has gone, right? Light means knowledge. Knowledge came, that ignorance has gone. In the same way, this creation, Shastram is saying, doesn't exist. And proper knowledge comes, this creation doesn't exist then. World doesn't exist when proper knowledge comes. That is the message getting through, right? So, in this way, Brahman is present in all these forms. Karanam, in the form of karyam, right? And how is that possible? That is the power of Brahman. Brahman can become many and many forms, whatever it wants, right? So, that Brahman is the one which is in working with Maya through the agency called Maya, which is nothing but three modes of nature, right? So the first manifestation of Brahman is Maya. Is Maya. And then came the other things, Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti, Dravya Shakti, all that. And then all when they came in, it became Mahatattva, Samashti form, right? And that's all Maya, right? And Karya Karanam. Maya is the karyam, Brahman is the karanam, in that way. And from that came the Mahatattva and Mahatattva is also Brahman. And from that Mahatattva came Aham Tattva, Jiva, right? Ahangaram. In this way, Devada, senses, sense objects, their results, everything, one after the other, developed. And then Brahman, in its gross and subtle form, stulam sushmam, it has become manifested in front of us in the form of this world, right? In this way, from Mahatattvam came Ahamtattvam, and from Ahamtattvam came Jiva. And Brahman has come as Ahangaram now. In the same way, all living entities in this world, they all came from the root cause of all this is Brahman, says, right? And all the other one, Indriya, Adhishtana, the other, senses came, and senses requires their predominating deities, right? Senses, sense objects, in this way, everything is Brahman, yeah? Nothing exists separately from Brahman. That's that one word. He sees there, Jnana Kriyartha Balarubata Yorushakti Brahmaiva Bhadi. Brahman is manifesting like in front of us in all these different forms. It's all Brahman. Everything is Brahman. Sadas Sadasachatayo Param Yat. Right? So, if everything in this creation is Brahman, all these things has got, they were created one day and they will get destroyed one day, right? Will that have any effect on Brahman? That's the next question, right? If everything is Brahman and the root of everything is Brahman, if this is all Brahman and everything has come from Brahman, right? When these things all getting destroyed, because they have come from Brahman, and they will get destroyed one day, will that destruction, its appearance and disappearance, or creation and its destruction, will that affect Brahman? That is the question. And the answer to that is the next verse. Alma jajana namarishyadi naithade sau nakshiyade savanavidyubicharinam hi sarvatra shashvad anava ubalabdhi matram prano yadhindriya balena vigalpidam sat. That's the answer. Normally in Bhagavadam, when they speak in the Saptaham and all, they just don't touch any of these verses. Because it requires a lot of explanation, and also people have to have a free mind to listen. They have to come to the philosophical mood to understand this. Whereas Katha, everybody likes Rukmini getting married to Krishna. Everybody loves that. And the fight after that, Krishna fighting with Krishna and Balram fighting with Shishubala and Rukmini, all that fight, people like, oh, they say Bhagavadam is fantastic, nice Bhagavadam, but this Bhagavadam is not very nice. This part of Bhagavadam, when they start reading, this is boring, they say, the boring bit, they call it, this side of the Bhagavadam. But this is the Tatsum in the Bhagavadam, to say, to get to this, yeah. And at the end, Pipalayana Maharshi says this. What does he say? He says, to understand all what I have told you, he says, you have to get a bit pure inside. He says that in the 40th verse. Yarhyabjanava charaneshanayoru bhaktiya cheto malani. Malam means impurities in the heart, yeah. When the impurities in the heart is removed, then you will understand this what I was talking about. Tasmin vishuddham ubalabhyada atma tattvam sakshadhyada amaradrusho savitra prakasha. That verse is something like you can say that eye opener to all the other verses, saying to us that whatever I have spoken, if this has to click inside, you require a certain degree of purity inside, purity of the heart. And that is what sadhana is for. Sadhana is for that purity, to get that purity somehow, to understand things which are Rishi's language, very not easy to comprehend for ordinary people. And that is why the Bhagavatam speakers don't bother to say anything about these verses. They will say, Krishna spoke to Uddhava, or Navayogi spoke to Nimi. In Ekadashi, there is a conversation between Nimi and Navayogi, but they won't say what that conversation was. Or they'll say, the same thing Krishna is talking to Uddhava in the next many chapters, right? So there also they will just run through it and close the Bhagavatam, because what can you do? This is the way it is. Bhagavatam is like that. And same thing in Bhagavad Gita also. Things are very subtle. Many things are spoken in a very subtle level. And we do need to be in that frame of mind to think and to adjust with that. Yeah. So that's what it is. So he's saying here, in this verse, 38th verse, he says, first thing to understand is, he says, because the question was, what will happen to Brahman? If all these things are destroyed, will Brahman also be destroyed then? When they all getting destroyed, because these are all come from Brahman. So when they all get destroyed, is Brahman finished with that? He says, no. Nalma jaja na marishadi. It won't die. Because Brahman is Chaitanyam, pure consciousness it is. So consciousness cannot die. Consciousness cannot die. Isn't it, scientists are always trying hard to create this consciousness. You know this new thing was called artificial intelligence. Intelligence you may create artificially, but consciousness you won't be able to. That's the difference. We'll discuss tomorrow. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah, they are not looking.